Desire and interest in your prayers, we look in the Word of God. I know when preachers or ministers talk about the length of their message, people get uncomfortable, and I don't know if that's always fair. So I have an hour and a half message that that we'd like the Lord to help us to condense in less than 40 minutes this morning. So I trust it will be a blessing and a help to us. Headship of Christ is the title of the message. We'd like to begin in the fifth chapter of Revelation. It's showing that it's on. Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, asking a question, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? So there was a scroll, the one that sat on the throne, there was a scroll in his hand. And the angel asked, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. Question that comes to mind is, what was in that book? Because there was no one in heaven or in earth that was able to open up this book of mysteries that the one that sat on the throne held. This book had to be more than secular history. Because remember, the angel Gabriel revealed much history to Daniel. And he revealed much church history. So this had to be more than just more history. And he wept, John wept, because no one was found able to open up the mysteries of that book. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, that was Jesus Christ. There was only one person in heaven and earth who was able to open up the mysteries of God. It was not secular history. I mean, there was some secular history contained in it. But it was the divine mystery and opening up of salvation to mankind. It was the whole plan of God that was to be revealed in this gospel dispensation, that there was only one person that was able to open that up to mankind, and that was Jesus Christ. There is no man, there is no institution, there is no church this morning that can bring deliverance to our souls except Jesus Christ. And I would this morning that we recognize the headship of Christ. The headship of Christ in the church and the headship of Christ in our personal life. There is no organization that you can join this morning that will give you victory over yourself. There is no ideology in this world, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans or the liberals or the conservatives or any other party in the world, there is no one that can give you a manner of life that will give you entrance into heaven except Jesus Christ. And that's why when he saw the seal, the book was sealed, he wept, because we want access. We want to know and experience what the mysteries of heaven. And no one was able to open up, and he said, don't weep. Don't weep this morning when you look on the troubles of life, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. It is through Jesus Christ that Satan was defeated this morning. And then we read on down in verse 9. It said they sang a new song. Oh, do you know that when we begin to get revelation of Jesus Christ and we enter into this wonderful plan of God, that we will literally sing a new song? I may refer to it in a little bit, but My father was supposed to read a scripture at a wedding this, or at a funeral, I'm sorry, at a funeral this week. And it was someone, to my understanding, that had no relationship with the Lord. And my mom told me on the phone, she said, yeah, it's kind of wondering, how do you segue from the song, My Way? My Way, I did it my way. How do you segue from that into reading, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? How do you do that? Do you know that when you get hold of a real experience with Jesus Christ, it will transform your life and it will take the old song out of your mouth? You're not going to be singing My Way anymore with Frank, was it Frank Sinatra? You're not going to be singing that song anymore, but you'll have a new song in your mouth. When the mysteries of God were revealed, they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. See, he's talking about Jesus now. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We sing the song reigning, sweetly reigning. You know this morning that I am reigning through Jesus Christ today. I am not waiting for another day to come when I can sit on some earthly throne or will we have all the food that we need, but we can reign through the power of Jesus Christ right here this morning. But the only way that we're going to have that reigning power and be kings and priests right now, what is a king? One that has authority. One that has power, power over self, power over Satan, power over the world, and power to say yes to God and to His plan. Thank the Lord for that. And what is a priest? One that has direct access to God. Do you know this morning that no longer do you have to go through a man? And any man that tells you, you must come through him to access God, that is from hell. That is not from God. It is not His plan any longer that we go through man. But we all have access to God as priests when we pass through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. Acknowledging then that Christ, He was the one that died. He was the one that was slain to redeem us to God out of every tongue and kindred. Do you know, I know that in our society there is a lot being said about race relations. There is a lot being said about oneness and in respect, and there should be respect. But do you know, there is nothing greater than when you pass through the blood of Jesus. Out of from every tongue and kindred and nationality, we are made one in Jesus Christ. There is not one nation or one color or one tongue that rises above another. We are brothers and sisters through Jesus Christ. And we are all equal in His sight because we pass through the blood. Recognizing that Jesus Christ is our head and we owe our devotion and our worship to Christ and Christ alone. It was that book that was opened, was the eternal plan of redemption. That was made known through Jesus Christ. Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We could just stay in Revelation. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't that wonderful that Jesus, that revelation of God through His Son Jesus, that brought redemption to mankind? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 19. Well, that's not what I wanted. Yes, it is. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. It is important to recognize that Christ is the chief cornerstone. And the Lord used the apostles and prophets of old to bring us to that place where Christ's plan was revealed to mankind. And then we also read in chapter 1, let's see, I was reading from chapter 2. My Bible is coming apart and I'm going to need to change Bibles here shortly. Chapter 1, I'd like to also read verse 19 here. Let's just skip down to verse 20 for the sake of time. It said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now let's keep in mind, God set Christ at his right hand far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. When we're speaking about the headship of Christ, we need to remember the scripture says that his name is above every other name. There is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. There are a lot of religious organizations and groups, some of them going by the name Church of God, that are exalting man, and that is a clear violation of what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ is the head. Let's read on to what he said. He said he had put all things under his feet. It's talking about Christ. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. And it is to have preeminence among us individually and as a people. That should be the focus of our life. Who are you following this morning? If it is anyone but Jesus Christ, you're following the wrong thing this morning. If there's anyone that is following a group of people, you're following the wrong thing. Because it is only Christ that can bring redemption. It is only Christ that died for us. It is only Christ that can enable us this morning to have the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding. It's only in Christ. So it said that he is the head over all things to the church. And right with that, let's turn and read in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. I want to back it up by the word this morning. He said, for by him were all things created. That was talking about Christ. Do you know Christ has been since the beginning? He's been before the beginning of time. But he was there when the worlds were created. It said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, here is a vital doctrinal truth that has practical implications to us today. And he is the head of the body. Who is the head of the body? Christ. Christ alone is the head of the body, his church. You know, there are a lot of different fellowships, aren't there? A lot of different groups of people that get together and worship. But let me just bring it home here. In our fellowship, loosely speaking, we have congregations that we fellowship with and we get together. We have national meeting together. Who is the head of that body? Christ is. Do you know that that is more than just theoretical this morning? You say, well, this one minister, no, not in the true church of God. In the true church of God, Christ is the literal head of the body of believers this morning. And any man that puts himself in a position that I am the head of the body is false and corrupt and is not of God. Jesus Christ is the living head of the body. People that are carnal and after the flesh can hardly understand that. Yes, but who is the head? Someone has to be the head. Yes, it's Jesus. Yeah, but I know he's up in heaven. But here on earth, who is the head of the body? Who's the head of the church? Jesus. We are not followers of Martin Luther this morning. We are not followers of the Wesley brothers. We are not followers of D.S. Warner. We are not followers of all the wonderful men and women of God that have gone before us. Although we look at their example and we see where God is blessed and we're edified and we learn from it, but ultimately we are followers of Jesus Christ this morning. The scripture or the song that Brother Sean called was just dovetailed with the message this morning. We have no other Lord except Jesus Christ. We are not interested in following doctrines and creeds that men have had. We are interested in following the pureness of the Word of God. Not by man's design, but following and giving our allegiance and our devotion and our worship to no one except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I am so thankful that Jesus is the head of the church, aren't you? Christ and Christ alone is to be the one that we show in honor with our praise and worship. Only Christ. Christ has been from before the beginning. It is Christ that died. It is Christ that will return to take us to the judgment. It is Christ that should be the chief object of our personal love this morning. What is your head? Jesus, as the head of the church, has the right to direct and control it, doesn't he? That's Christ's place. The prophet in Isaiah 33 verse 22, he said, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." Folks, Jesus alone is the lawgiver. He gave us through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit letters that were written shortly after the time of Christ to come together to what we call the Bible. But you know, this is a closed canon this morning. It's a closed canon. The Lord Jesus brought this word together and he said, "Cursed is the one," the scripture in Revelation, "to anyone that adds to or takes away from this book," the prophecy in Revelation. Anybody that takes away or adds to the divine revealed word of God is not from the Lord, but is from the enemy. There are millions of people that have gone into deception following cunningly devised fables. Men that are trying to set themselves up to have a following after them that is contrary to what the scripture teaches. We are to follow Jesus Christ. Now it is true this morning, the scripture says that there is to be an honor given to the ministry. But where does that honor come from? The honor that is due the ministry is the honor that is due when a true minister of God is preaching nothing but the Word of God. It's not because it's me. It's not because of my ideas. It's not because of charisma. It's not because of the ability to change or manipulate people. But it is the ability when the Lord inspires His Word through His ministry, we can say thank the Lord for His Word and then give heed to those that God has called to preach His Word. But the honor is there, but not the devotion, not the worship. True ministers of God are humble people. Anytime you find a minister seeking to have the praise and honor and accolades of men, that is not of God. It's contrary to Scripture. Across the world, there are ministers and ministries that are seeking to elevate themselves in a position that only belongs to Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of His church. Now we have been reading, and so most of you are familiar with the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 22 to 27, he talks about wives submitting to their own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as what? As Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto who? Christ. Now, this isn't part of our marriage lesson that we've been having in the afternoons. But I would like to point back to something Sister Tammy said, and Sister Sharon said it as we celebrated her 60th anniversary last Sunday. Do you know that there is a rest and there is a peace when a wife can acknowledge my husband is the head of the home? It's not meant to be a place of bondage. It's meant to be liberating. It's not meant to be a place that, well, I just can't live to my potential. You can live more to your potential in recognizing that he can take the burden and the brunt, if you will, of guiding the home. Do you know that's what the Lord is for the church? It is not saying, oh, I'm afraid to let Christ be the head. It is liberating this morning for us to say, Christ is my head. And we are to be subject to Christ this morning. Do you know there are so many homes where there's a power play going on? They both have opinions, and marriage is a little different in the sense that they should work together and they commune, but we are to commune with the Lord too. But at the end of the day, I want to say, Lord, not my will. Not my will, but thy will be done. And do it with a good attitude, not with a frown on my face, not with the glare in my eyes. Okay, Lord, not my will. But it is coming to the Lord saying, Lord, not my will. I have ideas and I don't understand it, but Lord, you are my head. How are we doing this morning with the headship of Christ? How are you doing? Are we saying, Lord, I acknowledge you not just with my mouth, but Lord, I follow you. I honor you. Do you know that is a relief in a place of wonderful Sister Tammy and Sister Sharon testify to it? It's a wonderful place to be. Do you know this morning there is a lot of strife among men about who would be the greatest? You remember Jesus' disciples did that? Who's going to be the greatest? That's happening in a lot of churches today, but it doesn't happen in the church of God, because people that do that, even if that's the name they carry, they're not part of the church of God. Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, don't strive. He said, you're not going to exercise authority like the princes of the Gentiles do. You're all brothers in the Lord. Do you know that's what we are this morning, is brothers and sisters in the Lord? And where you find a minister setting himself up to be the chief of anything, the leader, the head, you need to come through me. They are taking a position that only belongs to Jesus Christ. Only to Jesus Christ. And going on a little bit more on the ministry this morning, because that's where a lot of people assume the role of Christ. They take the headship. The scripture says to be not lords over God's heritage, but to be examples. Examples of what? Love and humility and forgiveness and grace, showing them the power of Christ. Christ is our head this morning. And it is not for any man to exercise himself as a king and as a prince and as a lord, where most of the time is spent defending position, wanting people to acknowledge who or what we are, rather than pointing people to the headship of Jesus Christ. This is the church of God this morning, where Christ is head. Let's be subject unto Christ. I mentioned the song, My Way. Do you know that if we don't acknowledge Christ as our head this morning, there's going to be conflict? Because we can have opinions and ideas, and we will. But the Lord wants us this morning to lay our opinions and put them on the altar and say, Lord, I want to acknowledge you as my head. The decisions that we're making this morning, what is dictating your decisions? Why are you living like you're living? Why are we making the choices that we're making this morning? Why? Is it because it's what I want, my way? But the Lord is my shepherd, but I want it my way. That's not the body of Christ. We are God's people when we freely, and this is not just to the women, this is to the men. When we as men, strong men, say, Lord Jesus, you are my head. That takes a real man to be able to do that. It's not weak-kneed, sissy men. And I know that's an old-time term probably. Do you realize that it takes a strong man to be able to say, Christ is my head, and I'm going to allow him to set my course in life So where are we choosing to look for our headship this morning? May it be Christ. There is a rest in that. And where Christ is the head of His church and His body, do you realize just like with a husband and wife, because just moving on in that scripture in Ephesians, it's Christ that died for us, isn't it? He loved us. He gave Himself for us. He has our best interests at heart. But you know where you will find men that are setting themselves up in the position of Christ Himself, they don't have your best interest at heart. And I'm going to go so far to say somewhere along the line, when you find a man or a ministry setting themselves up, that you've got to come to me when it has to do with things related to God, you're going to find someone is being self-serving. You're going to find someone that is seeking to fill their own pockets. You're going to find someone that is seeking for vain prestige and honor that belongs only to Christ. Well, so then with a husband and wife, the best and perfect plan of God is for the husband to be the head of the home, head in humility, head in love, head in giving. Isn't that a good way to head, sisters? Don't you want a husband like that? Not one that says, well, I'm over you, I'm the boss. No. But one that is there to love and give Himself for you and to be the example and to be the one, not like the bucks we heard about in Sunday school that hold back, but the one that steps out in the front. If the enemy's there, all be there to stand and defend and guide you in the right way. That's the head that the Lord wants in the marriage, and that is what Christ is to His church. And no man can fill that place. The Lord has our best interest at heart. So it's not for a husband and wife, because He used the example of Christ in the church as a marriage, didn't He? It's not for a husband and wife. It doesn't change God's plan if a husband and wife come together and say, well, who should be the head of the home? All right, well, my personality is this and yours is that, so let's reverse it. Does that change the plan of God? No, you can vote all you want. You can talk about personality types all you want. It still doesn't change God's plan for marriage. It doesn't matter what generation. Sister Sharon got married in 1960, she said, when there was a real push, the women's lib movement was really strong. And I know there were some good things that came from that, but there were also some bad and things that weren't good. The family unit began to break down. We have to recognize the good for what it is and the bad for what it is. And there was a real push for independence. And she said she had to learn to be the wife that God wanted her to be. You look on Sister Sharon today, it's like, wow, she had to learn that? That looked like it came pretty naturally for someone like that. We this morning need to recognize that Christ is our head. And it doesn't matter what generation we live in. People can say, well, this is what the Bible teaches. See, this is God's Word. And they say, well, that was for back then. No, this is God's plan for us today. And any ministerial vote does not change God's Word. Any ministry or church that says we have more light and we have more understanding and begin to add to or take away from this, their vote does not change God's Word. That's apostasy. That's apostasy, just in black and white. It's apostasy to begin to change and add to or take away because of the generation in which we live. Ministerial vote changes nothing. Christ's purpose was that He might present us a glorious church this morning. So who's our head? Daily, are we acknowledging Christ as our head, saying, Lord, what's Your will for me? I've got some decisions, and I know I have some preferences, and we all do. That's all right. But are we saying, Lord Christ, Jesus, what do You want for me in my life? Are You pleased with that? Well, I like it. But what does my like or dislike have to do with it? What would you all think this morning if I began to dictate to you every decision you made in your life? Financially, physically, you want me to go home and go through your wardrobe? That's the last thing I want to do. That's not my place. And brothers and sisters, it's not the place of any minister or any religious group to do that either. Christ is the head, and He wants to be reigning in your life, that when you gain that personal relationship with the Lord, you will do what you do, not because of fear or manipulation of the ministry or the church that you fellowship with, but because you are acknowledging Christ as your head. That's why I want to live like I do. This brings peace, and it brings comfort to know that Jesus has our best interest at heart. If we don't recognize the headship of Christ in a living, practical way, we will turn to self. We will turn to our own ways. Or we will turn to the ministry. Now, don't misunderstand me. I also believe that people can go so far that there's not enough respect given for those that the Lord has called to preach His Word. And I think there's a greater danger maybe among us as a people than there is the other way. But I want us to know this morning, ultimately, people sometimes, if they don't acknowledge Christ as their head, they need someone to fill that gap. I want a person, flesh and blood, that I can just go to have tell me what to do. Do you know that's not what the Lord wants this morning? The Lord wants you to get so close to Him that you can hear His voice. And then when you hear it across the pulpit, the Spirit of the Lord will be in your life confirming and backing up the word that you're hearing, because it's all pointing us to the headship of Christ in our life. So what voice are you listening to this morning? People turn to ministry. They turn to organizations of men. Let's create an organization that can kind of fill this gap in our life. Many times they can turn to philosophies of the world to direct our steps. But you know, all of those things will not make us fit vessels for the return of Christ. None of those things will make us fit vessels. So, who's in charge and to whom shall we turn? Jesus said, I am what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. And it is not a man that walketh to direct his steps this morning. We need a head. We need authority in our life. But divine authority is Christ Himself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is where I say now I've got 30 minutes to get into 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if we were having afternoon service, I would probably just stop, but we're not. So we're going to just look into the Word just a little bit more. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He said this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself as he is God. Now, because of a shortness of time that we have this morning, we're not going to get into all the prophecy and fulfillment of this, but I will say anyone that sits in the seat exalting himself as God is a false prophet, because Christ alone is the one that has the authority to sit on his seat. And who is there this morning that has sat in dominion over kings and religions? One of the fulfillments of this primarily is the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church himself. He sits in a seat and claims himself to be infallible. Man, infallible. Man having the power to forgive sins through obedience to what they have to say. Do you know this morning that not everybody that is a Catholic, there are honest, sincere Catholics. But the system in which they belong is an apostate system, because there are men that are exalting themselves as the head, and Christ alone is the head of His church. One of the titles that the Pope carries is Vicar of Jesus, or Vicar of Christ. Vicar means substitute. It means replacement. Christ is not here on earth, and I will stand in His stead as the vicar of Christ. I would not want to be in those shoes at the judgment of God to stand before a holy God and say, I am a substitute for your son Jesus. There is no substitute for Jesus in heaven, nor is there on earth. He is the one that died and the one that can forgive sins in Him alone. It is Jesus only that can bring us into His church, and it is Jesus only that can kick us out because of sin. Any man that says otherwise, their power comes from the enemy. Satan himself and is not of God. Beware, because there are many false prophets that have entered the world. We can look on the Roman Catholic Church and see clearly this morning, if we had another hour or two, we could see where the prophecy spells out the number of, and the name of the man. The one that sits in the seat of Christ himself, the Pope. But do you know whether it's the Roman Catholic Church or any other religious body or ministry that claims to have that authority as I am the head, I am the chief, I am the one that dictates how to live your life. That is a false prophet. Make no mistake, it is contrary to the clear teaching of the Word of God. And you may sit here this morning and say, yes, Christ will be our head, and we would never buy into anything else. Satan has a trap laid for sincere people. And there are sincere people that are listening to apostate ministers this morning who are setting themselves up to guide and to direct and to control their lives. And they do it in the name of Christ. They do it in the name of holiness. They do it in the name of religion. Clearly, the Scripture says they're taking the place that Jesus alone wants to fill. There is no substitute for Christ himself this morning. There is no vicar in this earth. But there is something Jesus left for us to be a substitute while he went away. You know what it was? Jesus said, it is needful that I go away that the Spirit might come. That the Spirit, the two witnesses of Christ on this earth, and it's written out in the New Testament, and it's also written in prophecy. It's written in prophecy in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The two witnesses are the Word and the Spirit. Those are the two that testify of Christ himself. The Lord did not send a pope. He did not send this apostle or that apostle. He did not send this religion or that religion to stand in for the place that Christ wants to fill in our life. He gave the Word and the Spirit that you can personally have that Spirit and Word as the vicar of Christ in your life. But no man can fill that place. And anyone that says otherwise is false. Is false. And we shouldn't listen to them. We shouldn't humble down to them. And surely, saints, we should never give our praise and adoration to men. But it should be to Christ himself. As we conclude in the next few minutes, do you remember what Paul said? Because Paul was an apostle, wasn't he? So if someone is called to be an apostle, someone's called to plant churches, a missionary, that's what an apostle is. He's a missionary, church planner, one that has over guidance and oversees some of the works. But there's no adoration there. Paul said himself in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, he said, we preach not ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ the Lord and ourselves your servants. We're just servants. We preach not ourselves. Do you know there are Church of God groups this morning? I'm saying groups. They call themselves Church of God. They're not Church of God. Don't misunderstand. They're not God's church. But there are people this morning that are preaching themselves. You listen to their preaching and their messages and what they're all about. It's about us, us, us. And in the ministry, it's about me, me, me. Those are contrary to the Word of God. Paul said, we preach not ourselves. Think about when Paul began, or Peter and Barnabas, remember, they healed the lame man at the gate through the power of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And the people began to give them praise and they began to exalt them. And they said, no, we didn't do this in our own power. We didn't do this. Do not give us any praise. I would this morning there would be some ministries, and I would that there would be some leaders in religious groups today that would say that. Do not give us any praise. It's only Jesus Christ. Paul, when they healed another man in Acts 14 through the power of God, Paul and Barnabas, they healed a man that was lame, and the people said the gods are come down. And they were ready to offer sacrifices and lay their goods at their feet. That sounds too familiar, folks. Heard that one this week. False apostles saying, sell all your goods and come lay it here at our feet. Get sell out. Get rid of all your 401ks and come lay it at our feet. Folks, that's a false ministry. These folks came to Paul and Barnabas, who if anybody were apostles, these were these brethren here. And they began to praise and worship them, and they cried out, and they rent their clothes and said, don't worship us. They said, we're men of light passion, just like you are. We're not above you. We're just here ministers preaching Jesus. Don't worship us. Don't praise us. Don't lift us up. True ministers of God, that is their message. It's not us. It's Christ. Christ is the head, and alone He is the head. In Revelation chapter 19, we read about the angel giving some more prophecy to John and more revelation. And it said, and you can find it in Revelation 19, he said they fell down, and John fell down at his feet to worship him. And the angel said, see thou, do this not. Don't do that. He said, we're just thy fellow servant and thy brethren. I'm not worthy. Folks, the Pope and many people in the Roman Catholic Church, they have a ring that you can kneel down or you can lean over and you can kiss the ring. There's only one that we should be bowing down to this morning. That is Christ. He's our head. Any ministry that accepts that kind of praise and adoration is not from God. It is from man, it is from the enemy, and it is from this world. Jesus said, and I'm going to close here, the scripture said rather in the prophet Isaiah 42:8, he said, I am the Lord, that is my name. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. My glory will I not give to another. Jesus Christ is the head of the church this morning, and I freely welcome Christ to be the head of my life today. Will you? Will you allow Christ to be your head? Have you been doing it your way? Have you been independent about it? I'm just kind of independent. I like to kind of do things my way. Folks, one day there's going to be a price to pay for that. But if we can acknowledge Christ and say, Lord, I'm ready to do it your way, He will accept us and He will lead us in green pastures as we yield to His word and to His spirit. Amen.